This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Today, I'm going to talk about Walt Disney World. It's in the news with how they're going woke. It's really disgusting, in my opinion. But my podcast today goes way beyond that, even though I'll talk about it. It goes to the fact that I live in Orlando. I lived in Florida when Disney came here back in the early 70s. I covered Disney as a reporter for the Orlando Sentinel. I understand all of this stuff about the Reedy Creek Improvement District, and I think that I can shed some light on it and also make some observations about Disney over the years. I hope you'll stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back. I can remember in 1967, might have been 66, I was in high school, and Walt Disney Company bought a 30-minute TV program that they ran, I think, in every market in Florida, where Walt Disney himself announced the coming of Disney World. There'd been a lot of speculation on who was buying up all this pasture land in the middle of nowhere, Florida. And, people were speculating. Turned out it was Walt Disney. He had had a lot of success with Disneyland, but, you know, there were waffle houses and gas stations and trinket shops up and down the streets of Anaheim, almost to the ticket counter in Anaheim, and he wanted to have a lot of space, and he bought 55,000 acres. They did it under all kinds of false companies and all this kind of stuff because the price would have gone up. Most of what I'm going to tell you today, I'm going from memory, but I think my facts are at least close. It seemed to me that they ended up paying about $110 an acre. Now, that was in the 1960s, so it would be more. But even then, it was very, very cheap. This was land that kind of wasn't good for anything. The story was told that Walt Disney himself flew over the area, and he was drawn to Orlando because it's where the Florida Turnpike and Interstate 4 cross. And we had an Air Force base that the city had an airport, so it was a major airport. It's, you know, much more major now, of course, but all those things were important to him. And he saw Bay Lake. It's where the Contemporary Hotel is, and thought it was beautiful, and they started planning. When you drive on Disney property, you drive 5 miles before you get to the ticket plaza to park in the parking lot for the Magic Kingdom. And over the years, they added Epcot and Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios and a cute little town that we enjoy going out and going to a couple restaurants at called Celebration. And, it's really a rather magnificent place. But I can remember as a high school student, I had a buddy who lived in Kissimmee. I had a car. He didn't. And we spent a Saturday driving all over trying to figure out where it was going to be and what it would look like. Of course, we had no way of knowing how it was going to impact Kissimmee, which is really closer to the entrance of Disney World than Orlando is. We saw what I later decided was their visitor center. This would have been probably 1968. Later, I went to the University of Florida, and after I graduated, I came to work for the Orlando Sentinel. You know, the state of Florida rolled over and played dead to get them to come. After they had bought the land, they told the state of Florida they'd sit on the land and then sell it unless Florida gave them all kinds of powers they had never given anyone. And so they have a governmental authority over their entire acreage. The main one is called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. And there is a little creek called Reedy Creek. Interestingly, they have a canal all the way around their property that kind of defines their property. It's also for flood control, which, you know, with our rainy season here, and all the swamps and everything is very important. But they also have two towns. I bet you don't know what they're called. One is called Lake Buena Vista. It's mostly hotels there. And there's another one called Bay Lake. I don't even really know what the boundaries are. There's only about 50 residents in these two places, and they're all Disney employees. But they have elections. They elect a mayor. They pass laws. They have their own zoning. That's one reason they said they needed it, was because the zoning for Orange County doesn't include things like Cinderella's Castle. Actually, they have total control. They are municipalities. They make laws. They can arrest you. They can put you in jail. They do. They levy taxes, but they levy taxes on themselves. But they also have privileges that cities have. For example, in the state of Florida, part of the cigarette tax and maybe some other taxes actually go back to the city. So Disney gets part of this tax just like any other city. I don't know how they base it on. It must not be population, but, you know, there's some way they base it. They can also float municipal bonds. You know, there's all kinds of tax breaks for municipal bonds. So when they need to put in a sewer line or telephone service or, you know, whatever utilities that a city would be, they just float a bond, but they're floating it for themselves. And there's a lot in the news about how they have $1 billion worth of bonds to pay back. Well, of course they have to pay them back. You know, if they didn't have these services, they would have gone out and just borrowed the money or taken it from other resources. But there's all of these great benefits that they have. Now, I've been reading about this. I heard Governor Ron DeSantis on TV last night talking about it. You know, there are people who are saying there are 1,400 special taxing districts in Florida. Yes, of course, but none of them are to one corporation. And like, for example, my neighborhood is outside a corporated and incorporated city. We call it unincorporated Seminole County. And there are some services that people in my neighborhood want. Streetlights is one. If we were in the city, it'd be part of our city taxes. We don't pay city taxes. So there's a little street lighting district. The same thing is true of libraries and some other things. So they're all over the state of Florida, 1,400, but they're little. And they're for a specific reason. And when we pay our taxes, it's added on. So there's a little add-on. But we don't mind it because it's a whole lot less than city taxes would be. You've got to understand that a lot of the stuff they're talking is just double talk. The state of Florida, as I said, rolled over and played dead for Disney World. And I'm glad that they're taking away these special powers. You know, who knows if Disney would have withdrawn from Orlando or not. I think they were probably just playing bluff. And economically, it has been a boon to our state, of course. And it kind of put Orlando on the map. I've lived here since 1973. The park opened in 1971. So I moved here just less than 2 years after it's opened. The first time I went was right before Joy and I got married in 1972. I remember it well. It's a lot of fun. But do you know, there's nothing at Disney World that's Christian, with one or two little exceptions. Because, listen, in the early days, I was there 100 times. I quit counting at 100. Of course, we had little kids, and we had a lot of relatives from up north. I haven't been in years, partly because I've been disgusted by how things have been going. And this is before the Don't Say Gay law came into effect. But, you know, everything is around magic. It's around magic. You know, that's the occult. And nobody prays. They wish upon a star. And there's the haunted house, and there's all this stuff. The only thing I can think of that was Christians is when they tell the story of the pilgrims, and they talk, they have kind of like a slideshow or something, you know, to try to depict it. They show some of the pilgrims kneeling at a grave, and on the grave is a little cross, because I can remember saying to someone, hey, there's a cross. But, you know, it's not the cross of Jesus, really. It's just, you know, it's a grave, and it's become customary for people to put a cross on the grave. There are other theme parks that we visited over the years that do have some Christianity. SeaWorld at Christmas time has a very nice, much in my opinion, much nicer than Disney, and they don't seem to be so self-conscious about playing Christmas carols and that kind of thing. It is not a Christian destination by any means. And of course, Universal has Harry Potter and everything else. But, you know, the thing is that Christians just put up with all this stuff. In fact, I remember talking to a denominational official that I knew. We kind of ran into each other and we visited a little bit. And he and I had some variation of this conversation. And his attitude is, well, you know, the kids like it and it's, you know, it's kind of harmless. That's how we've taken this all along. Now, with political correctness and now wokeness, where the left is so much more aggressive, that there's an agenda. It's just startling how fast it's moving. You know, when I was a little kid, of course, there was none of this. I had no idea. I think I was an adult before I found out that anybody even tried to change their gender, and it was extremely rare and usually was put in the category of what we would call cross-dressing. That's men dressing up like women. Very, very rare. It was looked down on, actually, much more than, you know, just kind of like run-of-the-mill homosexuals, if that makes sense. And now Disney is saying that they will take 50% of their characters and also the lead characters and make them LGBTQ or whatever the latest initials are. And then they also add and minorities. Well, the and minorities, that's fine. But, you know, when you're dealing with animals, you know, what race are they? You know, a lot of the cartoons are animals. Of course, they do movies and everything else. And they have all kinds of different races and so forth. That's not what the upcry is about. The upcry actually had to do with the schools where there are people trying to teach transgenderism to kindergartners, as in putting in their minds that little boys can become little girls or vice versa. Actually, God made them male and female. That's what the Bible says. And little children, I mean, they can't even, they have no idea who they want to marry, if they want to marry. You know, I mean, this is just entirely over their head, but yet we can put this in their mind. They're really grooming the children. That's the term that's used, that gay people will kind of groom them so they kind of grow up with that tendency. Now, I'm not an expert in all that, but that's what's happening. And thank God the Florida legislature and Ron DeSantis stood up to it. And so there is a group of people at Disney that are gay, that are screaming bloody murder, and put pressure on them to come against this. Actually, I'm told, I've not read the bill, but I'm told that it doesn't even have the word gay in it. It's talking about sexually or age-appropriate discussions of sexuality. You know, there's so much more that could be said. But as a resident of Florida, as someone who worked for the Orlando Sentinel, listen, I had to write about that kind of stuff. I covered the Orange County Commission for a year and sat in lots of meetings where they actually discussed these kinds of things. And it created some particular problems for Orange County, for example. I mean, it's like a hole. You've got this county and then there's like a hole in it that Orange County doesn't even have jurisdiction over. And I think that the state taking away this is putting it back on level playing field like anyone else. Disney's a huge corporation. It's gotten even huger in the 51 years since they moved to Orlando. Of course, they own all kinds of media and they're very controlling. We can't let them get away with it. And thank God there are voices like Sean Foyt and others who are standing up to them. You know, Disney has never been Christian friendly. They haven't. There was about 20 years ago, there was some movie they did that offended the Catholics, and there was a boycott. I remember the Southern Baptists and the Assemblies of God had a boycott. It didn't get very far, and after a while, I guess they just kind of dropped it. But instead of Disney saying, hey, we're sorry we offended the Catholics, it was no, they dug in their heels and said, no, we're going to do what we want to do. That was an early foreshadowing of what's happened since. This is far, far worse. And, you know, it's not even going to the theme parks. That was a boycott of the theme parks. But you can't let your kids watch them on TV. It's going to confuse them. Someone said it's a form of child abuse. I believe that. Now, I know there are people that are experts who understand child development and all these things much better than I do. I'm commenting as a journalist who's been out there. I can remember doing an interview with Tony Orlando and Don one time. This was back in the 70s. And covering other things. I will remember I covered the police beat, and the monorail would run into the back of the one in front of it. It didn't happen very often, but it did. The Orlando Sentinel wouldn't report it. They suppressed the news because it was bad for tourism. I mean, the Orlando Sentinel is, you know, like a lot of newspapers, has really gone downhill. It was never a great newspaper, and it's gone downhill since then. You know, I got some early experience in my career. I figured out that everybody I knew at the Orlando Sentinel was long gone, many of them dead, of course, because I was in my early 20s at the time. I'm not real proud that I worked there. It's not a great newspaper. But, I mean, they suppress that. And I could tell other stories about how, and this was in the 70s when we used to think that journalists were at least impartial. It's not true at all. But that discussion is for another day. I wanted to opine about Disney and to remind everyone that the magic and all that kind of stuff and the dancing girls and playing up saloons and, you know, lifestyle. Listen, their nightlife out there is pretty raucous. You know, I'm guessing that Christian people just, you know, stay in their hotel or do something else. You're not forced to participate, but it is not a godly place. And really, somewhere like Silver Dollar City in Branson, they actually have a chapel. I'm told the owners are Christians. Dollywood in Tennessee, they have Southern Gospel Sings as some of their programs. I went to Knott's Berry Farm one time, a long time ago, and I remember they had a little chapel. You know, it was not an active Christian thing, but, I mean, at least they made a nod toward Christianity, which we see less and less in the culture, and now there's outright hostility. Disney has dug in its heels. We need to prove to them that they cannot get away with it, or we have lost it. Listen, if we lose Disney, then everybody else is going to follow their lead. And, you know, thankfully, the others haven't yet. You know, these companies should be neutral. They should be neutral in these culture wars. But also, Christians should be discerning and realizing that long before the Don't Say Gay and long before this controversy with Disney, that Disney was not Christ-honoring. It doesn't have Christian values. We should stay away from all the magic and the hocus pocus and everything else. That is not pleasing to God. It's talked about in the Bible, but Christians, like my friend that I referred to a minute ago, it's kind of harmless. The thing is, we have been so inundated with these things that we just put up with it. It's just part of American life. And the body of Christ, the Christian community, needs to wake up and realize that we've got to walk a different way. Well, I hope you learned something, or maybe I made you think. I hope so. Maybe you learned something about me. Maybe you didn't know I lived in Florida all that time ago. But I have, and I've known many, many people that worked out at Disney. You know, you can't live in Orlando and not know somebody that works out there. But I just wanted to share this, because I know there's a lot of interest in what's going on. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Share this with others. It's how my podcast grows. I've announced it in various ways. My Strang Report, this podcast, has passed 12 million downloads. It'll be interesting to see how many download and listen to this. Thanks for listening. Tune in again tomorrow for another episode of The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.